Ramban Parsha Vayishlach. So the Ramban has a kind of hakdama to this Parsha, that the purpose of the whole description of Yaakov's run-in with Esav is a siman, ma'aseh avos siman labanim, and also to teach us how we should deal with Esav going forward, that whenever we would deal with the descendants of Esav, we should prepare ourselves like Yaakov did with tefillah, daron, and melchama. To daven, to offer gifts, or maybe you'd call it bribes, and to fight, or to escape, similar, both in that physical realm. So daven, gifts, and to fight, slash escape. So that's how we should deal with him going forward. Okay, but then Chazal have a little bit of a negative approach or feeling about what Yaakov did, that he proactively, you know, Esav hadn't said a word to him. Yaakov assumed that by way of travel, he would have to pass through Esav's territory, and Esav would find out, and who knows, so he should proactively go ahead, trying to make a peace deal with him. Chazal did not like that. The Ramban brings the Medrash. Then Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'darko hayim ahalech v'yisim ashleich etzlo, v'amar lo ko amar abdecha Yaakov. Esav was never going to bother you, and then you're sending to him, and so says your servant Yaakov. So the Chazal call it machzik ba'oznei kelev. They didn't think it was the right thing to do. And the Ramban says, and that was a ma'aseh avos siman labanim of what would happen in the future, a wrong thing, where the Jewish kings proactively tried to make friends with Rome and bring them in, and that ended up causing Rome to get too involved and eventually caused the downfall and the eventual destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So, don't do that. Obviously, normal shtadlos would be necessary, but that was the proactivity apparently was considered wrong. Okay, and we have this whole thing, like you heard from that medrash, that the Adoni Esav was an Avdecha Yaakov. Yaakov is being very humble in his addressing, in the way he addresses Esav. And what's the purpose of that? You see, Chazal didn't like it, but in its pashup shot, like why was he doing that? So the Ramban explains. Very geshmak. The Ramban explains that the way you talk to your older brother, we know there's a mitzvah of kibud avim, and we say it's kabed esavicha v'esimecha. So it's the rabbos achicha hagadol. We have in the Torah itself that it's one of the esses is to include your older brother. You're supposed to be mechabed your older brother. So he was talking to him as an older brother, that I'm your eved, you're my adon. Why is that? So says the Ramban that the whole point was to show, I get you're the older brother. You're the Bechor. I'm not the Bechor. You're the Bechor. Right? That's the whole reason Esav was all upset, because he took the Bechor. So Yaakov was dealing with him. Was like, no. You're the Bechor. Talking to him with that greater respect. Esav sends, Yaakov rather sends this gift. He sends Shluchim, all this stuff. And they come back and Vayeshuva Malachim al Yaakov Lemor. I'm sorry, take that back. He didn't send the gift yet. First, he sent Shluchim to say hello. That, I want to make peace. So, they came back and they said, we came to Esav and he's coming to you. Gam Holechli Kroscha Barba Meos Yeshimo. So the Ramban says what that means is, the Malachim never actually got to meet Esav. They went to Esav. Esav would not see them. That's how he insights, because they don't come back talking, Esav said this, or you don't hear the story that the messengers went to Esav. We don't find Esav saying, tell my brother this. We don't have the Malachim coming back to saying, Yaakov, that Esav said such and such. Anyway, the Ramban says they never met. They went there. They were not allowed entry. All they knew is Esav was coming. Not just he was around. When he heard Yaakov was coming, he went out. He was going out with an army, and he would not meet his messengers. That is not good. And he, you know, in other words, the Ramban says they asked around, and they heard that, or the army told them, I guess, that they were marching towards Yaakov. So he was coming for war. That's the point. That's why Yaakov got extra scared. In other words, it wasn't just maybe he's coming for war. Now he knew that Esav was coming to fight him. However, we know what happened when he got there, right? He saw all the gifts. He saw all the, saw Yaakov. For whatever reason, all the hashtachavos that he bowed to him sometime, nichmeru rachamav. He had all of a sudden rachmanas on Yaakov and he loved him, right at that moment anyway. And the Ramban answers, ki halavavos la Hashem hei melechala sheyach beot yat osam. Because Hashem controls people's thoughts and feelings. And whatever, and Hashem will make them think or do whatever they want. We're all just puppets. It's of course, a hashkafic point to remember. When human beings have bechira, have free will, their free will does not include what type of ice cream they like. Like Hashem can control you. Hashem can control everything. Hashem does control. In other words, a person's free will is about choosing right from wrong. That's it. Hashem gives a person the ability to choose right from wrong. Every other choice, like if Reuven's gonna like Shimon, he's gonna, you know, think he's a good guy or whatever, that kind of stuff is not necessarily your choice. Hashem could put it in your head whether someone makes a good impression or not. The only thing a person's guaranteed that Hashem gives them free will about, more or less, is to choose right from wrong. More or less, as sometimes we know from Paro, right? There's sometimes perhaps there are exceptions, but generally speaking, a person's bechira is limited to the right to choose right or wrong. This way, that's the only way it's fair for them to get punished or rewarded. But this kind of thing, whether that he happened to feel good about Yaakov, that's Lev Melachim Asarim B'yad Hashem, right? And he says, Hashem controls all hearts, so Hashem made it that he had Rachmanis on him at that moment. And Yaakov's general response to hearing that Esav was coming, he split his camp up into different parts, and he said, "If Yovo Esav al machane achas vihikov haya machane nishal lifleita." So he says, Chazal also learned from there the way we should operate in the future. Again, this whole story is supposed to be how we should deal with Esav in the future. That if Esav comes to hurt one part of Klai Yisrael, so the other, whether it's financially or physically, the other part of Klai Yisrael escapes and rebuilds. Then Yaakov davens to Hashem, Katonti mikol ha-chasadim mikol ha-emes. I have become smaller, that's what we assume it means, from Rashi, I have become smaller from all the chesed and all the emes. So let's talk about the minor point first and the bigger point. The minor point is, what is chesed versus emes? So the Ramban explains, chesed is temporary chesed, emes is enduring chesed. So like chasadim would mean Hashem made him rich or something like that. That's a temporary thing. Temporary chesed, as opposed to emes, would be something more permanent, more enduring, like that he was saved. In contemporary terms, we say your kids turned out okay, right? But like just that you did a good job on this, you got wealth, so that would be, or did, you know, I don't know, six, closed the deal. That would be chesed. Emes is an enduring chesed. Okay. But the katoti that we all assume from Rashi means that he got small, that his chusim made him smaller, and that's why all of a sudden he's worried about Esav. Meaning all the good, the hatava that Hashem gave to Yaakov had made him small, and that's why he's afraid of Yaakov. That's Rashi. And Ban disagrees with that and says, if that's the case, so then how do you say, if he was saying, I wasn't, I became small, and therefore I don't deserve it. Two psukim later, he says, Ahata amarte heitaviti imimach. You told me you'd do good with me. Oh, so the Ramban asks, you just told me 2 seconds ago, according to Rashi, that you don't think you're deserving of it anymore because you already got so much good. So why are you saying in the next pasuk, but you told me I'd get good? I understand, which is it? But when I told you you would get this good, you hadn't had so many chasadim, and now you had so many chasadim, so why are you still saying, but you told me? Anyway, the Ramban says it's not what katonti means. Katonti means I was never right for it. Katonti means, Hashem, you always did it for me for free. I was always too small to even be promised such a thing. I'm not right for any of this. Never was. Not because I got so much chesed. I still don't deserve it. I'm too small for all the chasana that you, Hashem, have done to me my whole life. I was never right for it. And yet you gave it to me anyway. So therefore, please give it to me, Kolshkein, that you even promised it to me. But even without the promise, you had always done chesed to me. I was never deserving it. So please continue to do it to me, Kolshkin, and you even promised me to do it to me. I'm not sure if Rashi and the Ramban are having a hashkafik machlokas, but whether you can become small from chasadim, or is it just the psukim aren't saying, like just the Ramban doesn't disagree with Rashi's concept, just doesn't think it fits in the psukim. It sounds to me more likely the latter. But anyway, okay, then we have Yaakov sends the gift. to Esav, and he says, "Revach tasimu b'nei dul eder." Make a space between each group of each flock of the gifts. The Ramban says this is also a ma'aseh avosim labanim. That when Yaakov was saying that when tzaros come on us, they should, on Klal Yisrael in the future, they should come with a space in between, not all at once. And specifically, as the Ramban explains, this is referring to taxes. There used to be taxes against the Jews, and if they came all at once, it would wipe out the Jewish community. So this Yaakov was paying Esav, so to speak, a tax, not all at once. Revach tasima b'nei, there'd be a space in between, so it wouldn't overwhelm and destroy, and certainly not physical harm, but even financial harm, there should be a revach between each one. Okay, then the pasuk says, Vayikach min haba b'yado, mincha. He took from what he had, a mincha. What does it mean? What does that mean, he took from what he had? Ramban explains it means he was on the road, he didn't have everything with him, he didn't have his kesef, he didn't have zav, he didn't have other stuff. This is what he had with him, flocks. So that's what he sent. That's what it means, min haba b'yado. Actually, the pasuk after that is one that says "Berevach tasimu b'neder" later, but okay, doesn't matter. Okay, then we have Yaakov has the fight with Saro Shalesev, and after the fight is over, he says "Lamazet tishalishmi." Why are you asking my name? What's that about? So the Ramban explains, you know, when you daven to Hashem, there's different shemos of Hashem. So when Yaakov asked the Malach his name, the Malach wanted to say, "Why do you want to know my name?" In other words, don't daven to me. I'm not someone you daven to. You daven only to Hashem. Whether Yaakov intended to, I don't know. But that was the Malach's response. He meant, why you want to know my name? He meant to say, if you're thinking of davening to me, you don't daven to me. You don't daven only to Hashem. And I won't help you if you do daven to me. But I can give you a bracha. But don't daven to me again. I don't know that means that Yaakov was trying to daven to him, but I guess that's how the Malach thought what he meant to say. Why are you asking my name? He wanted to say, my name is not important, Hashem's names are important. And the Ramban brings something else fascinating, that until Yaakov got to Israel, every month he would send Esav these gifts. Sounds like the same gifts, that's a lot. Every month, he says, from the Precious Rab, every month he would send, that he was in Sukkot, he would send him these gifts, because he was afraid of him. And the Ramban says either every month or once a year, but it's the same amount. And once he got to Shechem, meaning Israel, so then he was calm. Then it was Vayavo Yaakov Sholim Mir Shechem Hashem Beretz Kanaan. Then he knew he wouldn't be harmed because Hashem would protect him, or also his father lived there, and whatever. He wasn't afraid once he got to Israel. Then it says Vayichan Es Pnei Ha'ir, which means he bought a part of Eretz Yisrael, because Ramban says he didn't want to be just a guy passing through. So he bought land in Eretz Yisrael, and he quotes the Ramban, who says, it's this, the Maila Gedol of Eretz Yisrael, someone who has a chelik in Israel, it's like he has a chelik in Olam Haba. I don't know, I guess all the guys selling apartments in Israel should put this on their advertisements. Owning something in Israel is like owning a chelik in Olam Haba. That means owning if you're living there. Anyway, so that's why he wanted to buy a piece of land as soon as he got there. Okay, then we have the story with Dina. It says, Vateitze Dina Basleya Asher Yelda LeYaakov. What's all that whole speech? Dina Basleya that was given, that Yaakov gave birth to her, obviously we know that. The Ramban says to say, and this means to say that even though Shimon HaLevi, the one who went to war for her, all of the brothers were out to protect her and to be Nokem Nikmasa, as he'll describe. But it was not just the two of them cared and the other brothers didn't care what happened to him. All of them cared a lot about what happened. They just didn't all have the exact same approach of what to do about it. Okay, so it says that Shechem was Ma'anes Dina. So the pasuk says, "Mavnei Yaakov bo min asadeh." They saw they're very sad. Vayichal hem ma'od ki navala asa b'Yisrael ashkav es beis Yaakov v'chein lo ye'aseh. What does it mean? So should not be v'chein. It is not done, or this thing should not be done. Rashi says to be ma'anes abasula, because even the goyim made a geder of arayas from themselves because of the mabul. So such things did not happen, because even the goyim did not do things like that after the mabul. So the Ramban doesn't like that. The Ramban's like the goyim were not shtufezim back then. What are you talking about? The Knanim were shtufim barayas. Whether it's with Behema, with Zachar, the pasuk says, "Ki es kalat ha'evos ha'el asu anshei ha'aretz asher lefnechem." They were super prostitutes. What do you mean they were good to themselves after the Mabel? They were totally promiscuous. And remember, Avram was afraid that they were going to take his wife, they were going to kill him if he said it was his wife. So what do you mean? They weren't good people back then. What was that supposed to mean? That, Chim L'Yasa Ken Bim Kameinu. So the Rabban says, it's not going on the Goyim, it's going on Yisrael. Ki Nevala Asa Bi Yisrael, Ishkavis Ba'is Yaakov, V'chein Lo Yeyose in Klai Yisrael, that such things are not done. And it just brings, Uncle has translates in V'chein Lo Yeyose means, L'Kashir Les Havada, which is another way of saying, it's Asr, like the Torah is telling you, by the way, it's Asr. So, and therefore it's in Nevala Bi Yisrael. Okay, what happened to Dina after this whole story? So, Psukim don't tell us. The Rabban says that Darach HaPshat, she just stayed, she hung out with the brothers for the rest of her life, and then when she was buried in Egypt. And he says there's a Masorah about where she's buried. We don't have this thing, but apparently they used to know a place in Egypt that was supposed to be Dina's burial spot. However, he said that they had a Kabbalah like this. But there are others that say she was brought back to Israel. But it sounds like that she never got married. She was considered Tamei, and she just lived with Shimon, I think he said. He lived with the brothers, and they brought her back up. Either she was buried in Egypt, like the Kabbalah, that they had a place, or some say that Shimon brought her back up. There are other Midrashim. I'm just bringing you the ones that Ramban brings. Okay, then, so Shimon and Levi go speak to Shechem and their friends, Ben-Mirma. And he tells them they should all have a bris milah, then we could all be one happy family. And then, as we know, when they did the bris milah on the third day, when they were in pain, they went and killed the whole city. So this was all done in front of Yaakov. That's the Rabban says, that Pashup Shad is this was done with Yaakov being right there. If Yaakov was aware of all this, then he obviously knew what they were going to do. Why didn't he say something? If it's true, remember, Yaakov got very upset that they did this, that they killed at the city of Shechem. But they didn't do this behind his back, the original deal. That was done in front of him, or that he was aware of, that they said, you guys get a bris milah in 3 days. Why did he think he was saying that? They were saying that. They knew that they weren't actually going to take them in. So the Ramban explains that this is the part, like all the brothers, like you said before, cared a lot about what happened. What they assumed, what the plan was they were going to tell them this, that if you guys get a bris milah, then you can all be Jews. And they were not being honest. They were not telling the truth because they were never going to accept them. But they had their sister had just been raped. So what they said, what they were trying to do is, they figured one of two things. Either the city people are going to say to Shechem, absolutely not, we're not doing a bris milah just so you can get married. That's what they assumed would happen, and then they'd say, okay, give us our daughter back and go home. But if they did actually agree, so then they would raid the city but kill Shechem, not the whole city. That was the plan. It was supposed to, when everybody in the guards would all be weak because it's the third day or sick, that's when they'd go, they'd do a commando raid, get Dina back, kill Shechem, and that's it. That was the plan. Shimon and Levi went ahead and killed everybody. That's what Yaakov was upset about. There was no, the rest of the city had not been Chayav Misa. And that's what Yaakov was upset about. Okay, but if that's true, that they're really not Chayav Misa, so then we have a question. So why did Shimon and Levi go ahead and try to kill the whole city? Or successfully kill the whole city? So he brings the Rambam. The Rambam says that there's a chiyuv to one of the Sheva Mitzvahs is din, that you have to set up courthouses and people who enforce laws and punish those who are wicked. So since Shechem did something clearly wrong, and he should have been killed, and the Rambam understands that any Ben Noach who knows another Ben Noach did an Avera, and he himself does not kill the guy, he's Chayiv Misa, meaning each Ben Noach is Chayiv to make sure that Dinim are done, and if Dinim have not been done, that every single person who sees that person and doesn't do the din themselves is chayiv misa. So all of Shechem, who knew what the king of Shechem did, they all, each one of them was mechuyev to make sure that Shechem got killed, and they did not. Since they didn't, they're all chayiv misa for not enforcing the din on Shechem. That's why Shimon and Levi did what they did. So the Rabban asks, okay, if that's true, so then why was Yaakov all upset that they did it? If according to the Rambam, that's the halacha, so then Yaakov should have been overjoyed. Why was he all upset? So the Rabban then tells you his understanding of what the mitzvah of din is, and that is, it's not limited just to stealing, which is what the Rambam compares us to, that they Shechem stole Dina, so to say. But really, Dina means that they have to enforce all the Choshen Mishpat. All Choshen Mishpat applies to Bnei Noach, that's part of Din, that they have to not just not steal. They can't do Ona'a, they can't do Oshik Shechar Sachir, right? To pretend that someone got paid back or to overcharge. Dinei Shomrim, Onas Mefateh, which is what this was, Onas. And the Dal Nazikin, like everything, all of Choshen Mishpat is all part of Dinim. Just like the Dinim Shenistavu Yisrael, which is amazing, what we understand Sheva Mitzvahs to be is that the Bnei Noach need to study Choshen Mishpat and that they have to enforce that. Okay, that's the mitzvah. What if they don't do it? They don't get killed, says the Ramban. They do not get killed. Din, you only get killed for violations, lavim. It's a mitzvah to enforce dinim. Din is it's a mitzvah saseh, number 7, you know, the dinim. So therefore, if you did not do it, they are not chayim misa. So that's not a good reason why anybody should have been chayim misa, because they're not enforcing dinim. However, says the Ramban, we don't need to, like, try to figure out what could they have possibly done wrong. They're all these guys were Obdei Avodah Zarah, Megalei Arayos, Shvichatam. These were not good people. These were the Kananim, right? They're not good. There is no shortage of reasons for them to be Chayav Misa. The issue with killing them was twofold. One is that, like Yaakov, this is what Yaakov was upset about. Ha'charta Masila Avisheni was too dangerous. If you go kill them, the whole city, the whole people are going to gang up on me. All the neighbors are going to gang up on me. Which the Medrash says they tried to, and it was like a nace, and Yaakov was able to somehow fight them off, and they didn't all come at once, and whatever. It was a nisim that happened. But that's what Yaakov was afraid. It was too dangerous to do what they did. That's number one. And number two is it was Hamas what they did, because they said that if you do this, we will, you can marry into our families. And maybe they would have done tshuva. If they did a bris milah, maybe they would have done tshuva. They hadn't done anything wrong. They accepted their words, meaning the rest of the people of Shechem. And it was a Hamas what they did. They were, they didn't say the truth. It was a scam. And they killed them when they had the rest of Shechem had done what they were supposed to do. Maybe they would have done tshuva. So anyway, that was the thing. That's why Yaakov cursed Shimon Levi, because that was the chamas that they did. Okay, then at some point Yaakov says that they should all bury any avodah zarah that anybody had should be buried. And the pasuk says, "Vayitnu al Yaakov's kol Elohei anichar shebi adam." And Veitmonosim Yaakov, and he buried them. Right, he had told them to get rid of all the Avodah Zarahs and bury them. So the Rabban just wants to know, that's not the halacha. You have to destroy Avodah Zarah, not bury them. So he says that the Obdei Avodah Zarah mevatel them. They had declared them not to be gods, which makes it mutter. And there was no real need to do anything to them, but Yaakov wanted a higher level. He wanted them to be right for Taras HaKodesh. To be able to bring karbanos, and for that, he wanted them out of there. So therefore, they just buried them. Okay, then we have that. Batamas Devora Minekas Rivka. Devora died, the wet nurse of Rivka, and Chazal Rashi tells us that Rivka also died, and the pasuk is not mefarsim it. Why? Because so that people shouldn't curse the Keres Shiatsa Mimenu Esav. If they knew when she died, so then they would curse, oh, there's the lady that Esav came from, and they would curse her. Okay, so the Ramban doesn't understand that for two reasons. One is Esav came from two people, right? Yaakov, and I came from Yitzchak and Rivka. And it says very openly about Yitzchak dying. So, well, apparently we weren't worried about it for Yitzchak. Why are we worried about it for Rivka? So, the answer to that is, he says, is because by Yitzchak, he was buried by Yikbro, so Esav Yaakov Banov. He was buried by both Esav and Yaakov. And the Ramban brings, Rivka was only buried by Esav. Yaakov was not there. It's actually a Medrash in Dvarim that it says, nobody was there when Rivka died, because Avram was dead. Yitzchak was, you know, blind and couldn't come. Yaakov was in Padan Aram. Who came? Esav. Esav was the one who buried her. So, what they do, that it shouldn't, you know, people shouldn't see it's only Esav there. So they buried her at night. So anyway, that's why people would have cursed, you know, since it was just Esav there, people would have said, oh, cursed is the one that's the one came from them, because he was the only one who was associated with her burial, and then people would have associated the two, and that's the curse that we were trying to avoid. Okay, then we have Rachel dying and Binyamin being born. And it says, and that's where Rachel died. So the Ramban said he thought that meant that it was the time from when you get up in the morning till you have breakfast, based on a pasuk. You know, the wording of another pasuk, he thought that's kivras, comes from some other, like from the Lashon of Atavreni Lechem. Anyway, he said when he got to Israel, as he writes in his Pirish, when he got to Israel, he realizes, I mean, that's ours, right? Time you get up in the morning till breakfast, it's ours. So he said, this place till Beis Lechem is nothing. It's less than a mil. It's a 15-minute walk. So it's not hours, anything. So therefore, Kivras just must mean some unknown, some known measurement in their days. But not what he thought of there was hours. It's obviously something, it's a 15-minute walk, so. that's just an interesting thing that he mentions, that when he got to Israel, he realized the pshat. And this was, you know, a pshat from the Radak that he was quoting, and he just says, I got here, it's just not true, it's not hours, it's 15 minutes, so. He came up with a new pshat that it must be just some known measurement called Kivras Aretz. But here's the problem. So, okay, so we got to this, that the kever of Rachel Imenu to Beis Lechem is a short distance, but it says Kol Barama Nishma. Rama's nowhere near there. So the Ramban says, okay, so you have to say Kol Barama, which just means loud. You know, he says, he quotes the Targum Yonos in Barum Alma Ishtama. It's you know, high, it's whatever, but it doesn't mean the city of Rama, because that is nowhere near there. Okay, that's what happened to you. Then she called him Ben Oni, and the father called him Binyamin. So he explains that the mother wanted to call him Ben Oni because it's like Ben Evli, like Lechem Onim, you know, morning. But the father, here's the part that's a pshat, father changed the Oni of being a Lashon Evil to Oni as in strength, Kochi Voracious Oni, because that could also mean, in other words, he took the same Ben Oni, and he said, oh no, Oni, I say, is not talking about Evil, it's talking about strength, and then instead I'll just call it Yamin, because Yamin is stronger, so that's Ben Yamin. So he didn't completely chuck throughout what Rachel did. It was Ben Yamin is just reinterpreting Oni, like strength. Okay, then when it comes to Esav and his descendants, so just, there's a split. Esav had children from wives, and Esav had a child from a Pelegish. The one, Timna, was his Pelegish, and from that Pelegish, he had the child Eliphaz. That's right, the Pashup Shot. But when we're commanded not to be Mitzayer Edom, like, that's, not the Pelegish. That's his kids that came from his wife. The one that came from the Pelegish, that we have a mitzvah to wipe out. Okay, that's just that's the chilek. It's not all Bnei Esav are the same. The one that came from Pelegish, we have no mitzvah to not be mitzvah them. That includes Amalek, who we're supposed to wipe out. The ones who are from his real wives, that's the one that we can't take their lands, and we can't not, you know, be mitzvah of them. We have to, that's the regular Esavs. Okay, then he has a long shot about Rashi says that how is it later mentioned in Divrei Yamim that Timna was a descendant of Eliphaz when it was actually his wife, his Pilegish. So Rashi says must have been he was Baal Imo. I mean Baal al Ashes Sarah Hori, and they had a child together. So Timna was his daughter, and then he took her as a Pilegish. That's what Rashi says. The Ramban doesn't like that because it doesn't think fits in the Psukim. And he says that there are two Timnas, a male Timna, a female Timna, one's a son, one's a girl. Just one last point, slightly, just where Edom is. The Ramban on the Pasuk Vilam Lechem Sher Melchu Be'eretz Edom, he says that Batzra is part of Edom. I don't know if that's the same as Basra today in Iraq. I don't know, maybe not. But Taman is Taman. That's Yemen. And he says Taman is part of Edom. As it says, V'chihatu giburecha Taman l'mani k'reis ish mehar seir. So it's part of Har Seir. So Yemen is part of Har Seir. So if you're Tamani, your grandparents come from Edom land. Okay, whatever. Just thought it was interesting. Okay.